host, Renee Kranz. On today's show, we will have Michael Pauly in the studio with us. He is the executive director of the South Dakota Catholic Conference. He lives in Rapid City, so he made the trek over here to Sioux Falls and is with us in the studio for the interview if you're watching on video. We wanted to bring him in because the legislative session for South Dakota ended at the beginning of March, and it's always good to hear what passed, what didn't, why it matters to our faith, why we should care at all most of the time. So hope you'll stick around for that. First, we have Dr. Chris Bergwald. I said that really fast. Dr. Chris Bergwald. Ooh. For some biblical bites with Dr. B.
Some excellent enunciation.
Yes, I noticed occasionally I'll go back and listen to something or hear it on the radio on the way to Mass on Sunday morning. And I'm like, wow, I can't even understand myself right there. I'm learning from you.
I know. Somebody talks a little too fast and it's not Renee.
All right, what do you got today?
What's today, Renee?
It'll be the third Sunday of Easter.
Easter? Question mark?
Yes.
Three question marks?
I just didn't know if there was... some other thing.
Some other title. It is the third. There's no other you know, fancy title that I'm aware of for this Sunday. But there's definitely a theme for the readings, at least this year. We're in year B, which typically, in most of the year, especially in ordinary time, is Mark's gospel. But during Easter, all bets are off. Exactly. So this particular week, the gospel is from Luke. It's one of the post-resurrection appearances that Jesus makes to his apostles. But the theme, when you look at the first reading, the psalm, the second reading, this first reading is from Acts of the Apostles, which is the norm in Easter season, on Sundays at least. Psalm 4, 1 John, St. John's first letter, and then again Luke chapter 24. There is a recurring theme of repentance, which is interesting to me because
usually you hear that during Lent.
Exactly. Like if you're going to pick out which of the liturgical seasons are we going to hear about repentance? Going to be Lent, which is true. We do hear about it in Lent. We hear about repentance in Lent, but this third Sunday of Easter, at least in year B, I didn't check to see the for A and C, but there's definitely a theme of repentance.
Okay,
and I think this is worth talking about a little bit. So, for example, from the first reading, this is Peter talking to a number of the Jewish people about, hey, yeah, you guys murdered the author of life and da-da-da-da in your leaders and so on. But this is how he ends. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away. And then the Psalm chapter 4. When I call, answer me, O my just God. You who relieve me when I am in distress, have pity on me and hear my prayer. John talks about how Jesus is the expiation for our sins. Jesus says, he tells the apostles, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. I think, Renee, that one of the reasons why repentance is so hard for us is we have a false idea that we have to do something about it.
Oh, yeah.
There's the reality. I think it's also hard because, well, I kind of like the things that I'm supposed to
repent. Well, yes, of course there's that.
There is that.
But you're right, because I think a lot of people feel like even they can't go to confession until they fix the thing.
Correct.
We can't even do that most of the time.
Going back to Psalm 4, anticipating what we have in the New Covenant, you who relieve me when I am in distress, have pity on me. So the reality is... let's make this more sort of real. Not, I was going to say visceral. People, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, our eyes tend to be drawn to our flaws or imperfection. Mm-hmm. Maybe the quote-unquote warts or the quote-unquote or real weight, quote-unquote or not. Okay. Right? We see the flaws. I'm like, oh my gosh, like that blemish or
that wrinkle,
those extra pounds. I've got to do something about them, but it's so hard to do. And it's takes so. Okay. Yeah. The self-improvement plan in life where I'm going to do it. But that's not what repentance is.
Okay.
Repentance is simply, okay, I see the warts and the weight. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. And he gives us the means to take the warts and the weight away. Mm-hmm. There are still, we still experience the consequences, unfortunately.
Right.
So especially if there's if it's a vice, if it's a repeat, a habitual sin that we have, it's really hard to break out of that habit, yeah. Right? But nonetheless, the fault of the sin, the sin is forgiven by God when I repent. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. When we say that to God directly, when we say that to God in the who's present to us in the person of the priest, mm-hmm. the sacrament of reconciliation, he will do that. He will forgive me. I think sometimes we make too much out of what repentance is or what it requires. It's simply saying, Lord, I am sorry, forgive me for what I have done, and he will.
Yeah, thank God for confession.
Amen.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. B.
You bet.
In the studio with me today, I have Michael Pauly, who is the Executive Director of the South Dakota Catholic Conference. Thank you for coming in, Michael.
It's great to be here, Renee. Thanks for having me.
I think the last time we had you on was probably by Zoom, if I remember right.
I think you're right. So, it's nice to be in person.
It is.
Even though it's a beautiful sunny day and you wouldn't let us do it outside, you know. So.
A lot of wind in the mics and stuff. I haven't even been outside since I got here this morning, so don't make me sad.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry.
I'll be out there later. So we wanted to have you come in because South Dakota Legislature just wrapped up their session recently, last week or a week before?
It was actually March 7th.
March 7th.
So it's been
longer than I thought.
I know. Sorry. Time flies. Yeah, it's been over a month now. So.
And you finally got some sleep and so on, so that's a good thing.
I'm rested. I've recovered, sort of.
Yes. So we wanted to touch on three topics that were addressed in bills, because there were several bills that the conference either supported or did not support.
Yes.
And so there's three we want to touch on today, and those are education, abortion, and website obscenity, which sounds really interesting because
yes.
It's not one we've really heard about.
No.
So, but let's start with let's start with education. So, can you tell us about the education choice bill?
You bet.
And what happened?
You
with
bet.
It?
So, Senate Bill 72 was a bill the Catholic Conference supported, and what it does is it expands an existing program that we have in South Dakota called mm-hmm. the Partners in Education program.
Mm-hmm.
This program was created in 2016 by the legislature, and basically the way it works is insurance companies that owe taxes to the state mm-hmm. can get a credit towards their taxes due if they give money to what's called a scholarship granting organization.
Okay.
We call them SGO for short, Scholarship Granting Organization.
Okay.
We have one such organization in South Dakota. It's actually called South Dakota Partners in Education.
Oh,
so
yes. Yep,
any
heard
of your,
of that.
Yep. Any mm-hmm. of your audience members who have schools or have students, excuse me, who may be interested in attending a non-public school, you might want to look up on the internet, South Dakota Partners in Education. But basically the way it works is the program has a cap of $3.5 million. So these insurance companies can give donations up to a cap of $3.5 million, and they get a tax credit in return from the state for mm-hmm. giving those donations. And what Senate Bill 72 proposed to do was to raise that cap by another $1.5 million.
Ah.
So it takes the program from $3.5 to $5 million.
Sure.
Now, still, all things considered, this is a pretty small program, but it's targeted to help parents from lower income families who otherwise would never be able to afford mm-hmm. Non-public forms of education to help them qualify for it. So it's a good program, and the Catholic Conference was real happy to support it.
Right. And that passed.
It did. It did. And the good news is, I wish I would have written the numbers down, but it passed the House with over 50 votes, which was considerably more votes than the last time that this issue was before the House.
Great.
And so it was really gratifying to see kind of growing support for the program.
Yeah, they're probably seeing
time.
How well it works. And I mean, it's really good to be able to provide that kind of education for people who otherwise maybe wouldn't be able to do it.
Yes.
Does the increase then allow for more kids to be able to take part, or is it more of a kind of inflationary raise? Because I don't know anything about it. So I'm thinking of like other people might think outside of this.
Great question. Well, and I've talked to Robert Satter, who is the executive director of South Dakota Partners in Education. And what he's told me is that probably it'll be a little bit of a mix of both.
Okay.
So right now they do have a waiting list of people who have applied for scholarships and they just, the money's not there to grant them. So I think the number one priority for their group would be to try to fulfill those scholarships for those people on the waiting list. But hopefully after doing that, there will still be additional money which could actually be used to increase the amount of the scholarship. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, I mean, again, it's a little bit discretionary on the part of the scholarship granting organization, how they choose to allocate those funds. But I think the hope is that we'll see a little bit of both. You know, and if I just might add, in terms of the existing program, the money doesn't go to the schools. It goes to the parents, and then the parents choose where they want to send their child to school. But currently, like in the current school year, about 45% of the dollars, the scholarship dollars, are going to students who are enrolled in Catholic schools, either East River or West River. And if the additional funds that are added, the additional $1.5 million, is divvied up the same way, then what that would translate into is about another $675,000 in scholarships, specifically for students attending Catholic schools.
That's great.
It's a, you know, it's a, even though it seems, these seem like small numbers, you know, when you consider the budgets, the shoestring budgets that many of our Catholic schools operate under, this will be much needed assistance to help them.
And I was just going to ask you, like, why does this education thing matter to the church?
Yeah.
You answered it partially there, but what else would you say about why it matters to us?
Well, you know, it's funny because I get that question a lot. Why does the church support this? Well, it's interesting. The Second Vatican Council actually issued a document. It's in English, it's called the Declaration on Christian Education, but the Latin title of the document is Gravissimum Educationis.
Okay.
And literally what that means in Latin is very important education. You know, that's actually what the what this church's teaching document is. But it's an what's important about that document is it teaches that parents have the primary responsibility for directing their children's education, but it also says that the state has a responsibility, if it is subsidizing education, the state has a responsibility to subsidize education in a way that respects the parents' ability to choose the school that they think is the best for their child. And so, you know, when people say, oh, why is the church so interested in educational choice? It's because this is actually part of our church teaching that parents have the right to choose the school that they think is best for their children.
Yeah. So. Not only that, but our Catholic schools are a big part of our evangelizing arm. So
absolutely,
you have to remember that it's not only Catholic kids that go to those schools.
Yes.
And even if it was all Catholic kids, just to continue to build your faith and so on while you're learning and to learn from through the eyes of the church, I think is hugely important.
Absolutely.
Now. So.
Absolutely.
Anything else we should know about the topic of education here?
Well, only
I feel like
that,
there's something else.
Yeah, well, there always is something else. So in addition to the bill that passed, there was another bill, and this was the second year in a row that the legislature has considered a bill that would establish more of what I would call a universal school choice program. So the program that we're talking about is limited only to lower income families.
Okay.
But many states have adopted what we call a universal school choice program where there's no income limitation on a family's ability to qualify for these this assistance. And so like Arizona has such a program, our neighboring state of Iowa recently enacted one. So we need to get one enacted in South Dakota, but unfortunately a bill to do so this year failed in House Education Committee. And that's the second year in a row that a bill like that has been shot down. So I'm hoping to work during the interim with legislators to try to craft draft another bill and come back in 2025, hopefully with some more grassroots support behind it, and see if we can start moving the needle on this issue.
Are we getting close on that one, or is
No, I think it's a long uphill climb. You know, the bill that failed this year only, I want to say it garnered only two or three votes in the House Education Committee, so it wasn't a close vote. But I do think that there is a lot of pent-up appetite out there in the public to see such a program passed. So
especially after COVID and kind of people really realizing what their kids are learning in public school.
That's right.
Isn't always so great.
No.
So, there's a lot more people looking for a way to go a different route.
Yeah. I think we're going to see progress on this in the future, but we're off to a slow start.
Well, you know what? It's we can't just leave it up to our legislators, can we? We have to actually elect people to go there who will do the things we want. So we all need to pay more. This is like my
campaign stump speech.
Yes. It's like we need to actually pay attention to who we're sending there.
That's right.
And do we agree with the stances they take? And because it matters.
Absolutely.
It's not about just, honestly, the people who we elect locally in our state stuff is so much more important.
Yeah. In terms of the day-to-day impact on your life. Yeah.
Yes. It is.
Absolutely.
Okay. If you just joined us, I'm talking to Michael Pauly. He is the executive director of the South Dakota Catholic Conference. And we're talking about this year's legislative session, which just ended at the beginning of March, I'm told. Okay. So there's been a lot of talk about the abortion issue in South Dakota the last year. There was a petition out. But there are some things that are happening. Or have happened. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about what's happening right now?
Sure. Well, the legislature took on a number of issues related to abortion. And, before getting into the specifics of it, I would just say that what really pleased me about this legislative session was how unified the legislative voice was on this issue. Mm-hmm. That has not always been the case.
Right.
But this year, with this potential for a ballot measure coming up in the election to add a right to abortion to our state constitution, it was really important that the legislature stand unified, and they did. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very grateful for that. So a couple of things real quick. The legislature passed by overwhelming margins a resolution, it's House Concurrent Resolution 6008, which basically just condemned in no uncertain terms the proposed abortion amendment and explained why it harms women, why it fails to protect preborn children. Very well-written resolution passed both the House and the Senate by overwhelming margins. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of where the legislature started. It was with the passage of this very unified resolution to just express where the legislature stands on that. A couple of other things. There was a bill, Senate Bill 210, introduced by a pro-abortion legislator that proposed to create a statutory right to abortion and to repeal every pro-life law that South Dakota has passed in the last 50 years. The bill was like 45 pages long.
Oh my gosh.
And we expected this bill to be defeated, but what was really gratifying was that it wasn't just defeated, it was defeated unanimously, both in a bipartisan vote.
I was gonna say,
even the one Democrat on the committee voted no on this, just thought, this is just too crazy, this is too radical. So it was really gratifying to see that.
Good.
And then another interesting bill the legislature passed was a bill to require the Department of Health to produce a video specifically targeted towards healthcare practitioners to try to explain what South Dakota's abortion law is, what it requires, what it doesn't require, because there's been a lot of misinformation circulating out there. Like, for example, we even had the spokeswoman for the ACLU a couple of months ago in a media story saying that women could not get care for miscarriages in
South Dakota
because of South Dakota's abortion law, which is patently false, completely untrue.
That doesn't even make sense.
But they say these things in the media, and then nobody corrects them.
Right.
And so the legislature quite properly fed up with this, has passed this bill to direct the Secretary of the Department of Health, that's Melissa Magstadt, to create this video. And it has to be done by September. They attached a deadline to it.
Good.
I think because they wanted it to come out before the election so that we can have something, officially produced by the state that says, no, it is not a violation to give a woman proper care for a miscarriage.
Right.
You can treat an ectopic pregnancy.
Yes.
You can give give women the health care they need when there's life endangering situations. There's nothing in South Dakota's pro-life laws that makes that impossible or obstructs it. And so that basically is sort of a snapshot of how the legislature handled the abortion issue. And I think, again, the big takeaway for me was the legislature showed unity on this issue. And there's never been a year when we needed that display of unity more.
We actually did a Catholic Views episode with Deacon Glenn Ritter recently. He came on. We talked, I think twice. We talked about this issue of, because he's a doctor, we talked about this issue of what doctors are actually able to do around the health of the mother and so on. And he cleared up a lot of things. So while we're waiting for the state video to come out, if you go to the diocesan YouTube page at SF Diocese, and you can find that video with Deacon Ritter.
Excellent.
And it has a lot of good stuff in there. And he did a really good job of clarifying a lot of things.
Awesome.
I think
it'd
be helpful. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. So there is also a bill that just went through right at the end to allow people to remove their name from the petition that is circulating. Can you just give us a little information about that as well, real quick?
You bet. So this is House Bill 1244. Mm-hmm. And as you stated, this is a bill that allows people to remove their name after the fact if they sign a citizen-initiated measure. And, you know, I think all of the viewers here are probably familiar with this. You see these people outside the post office or outside a grocery store collecting signatures for measures, whether it's to legalize abortion or recreational marijuana. But we haven't really had any kind of a system where if somebody signs one of these petitions based upon misinformation and then later on regrets it, we haven't really had a system where they can say, hey, I was misled, I want to remove my name.
Right.
Well, now we do. The legislature just this year passed House Bill 1244. And so basically, if you want to, it applies to any citizen-initiated measure, but obviously the one that we're most concerned about, speaking on behalf of the Catholic Conference, is the abortion amendment, because we have a lot of anecdotal evidence that people signed this not knowing how radical it was or how extreme it was. And so there's a website that's been set up. It's called takeoffmyname.com. Mm-hmm. So pretty easy to remember.
Yep.
takeoffmyname.com. Mm-hmm. And any listener who may have signed that petition and now regrets it, wants to change their mind, you can go to that website. There's a form that you have to fill out, and then you have to send it in by certified mail. So there are some hoops you have to go through.
Sure.
You know, it is a governmental process. So nothing
and
involving
government. There should be a few hoops,
there
frankly.
There should be. There should be, yeah, because you signed a legal document that you know pertains to whether or not a measure will appear before the entire state. And so there should be some documentation to make sure that somebody really seriously wants to remove their name. But that is possible. And so go to takeoffmyname.com and you can do that.
Yes. Okay, good. Okay, so the other one that was very interesting, it's a bill about website obscenity.
Yeah.
And that was not passed.
No.
Okay, can you tell us about what this is? And what happened? Because it seems like a really interesting story to me.
Well, this I won't be shy about saying that this would definitely be my biggest disappointment of the 2024 session. So we're talking about House Bill 1257. And what House Bill 1257 proposed is a law for South Dakota that's very similar to a law that's been passed in 9 other states. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it requires websites that contain material harmful to minors. That's the language that the bill uses, is material harmful to minors. But then if you look at the definition of what is considered material harmful to minors, it basically tracks with the Supreme Court's definition of obscenity.
Okay.
And so effectively what this bill was doing was saying that websites that are in the primary business of peddling obscenity, you know, extreme pornographic websites, for example, that they have to install what is called age verification technology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people are confused about this because they think that this just means those things that they see.
Are you 18?
Are you 18? No. And you click the box, yes. And no, this is actual actual technology that, you know, requires you to show a photo ID to your camera on your computer, or you have to enter some other information that allows the verification using financial or transactional data, credit card possession. There's a whole number of different methodologies that are used by different companies out there to validate that somebody is an adult as opposed to a minor. Mm-hmm. And this is not new. If you get on Google and just type in age verification vendors, you know, you'll get websites for these companies.
Okay.
There's companies where this is their whole line of business, is to market. They're like the screening agency, basically, that you can't get to this website unless you first go through this age verification screening. And it's basically the technological equivalent of what we do when you go to the grocery store and you try to buy a bottle of wine. The lady at the counter says, "Can I see your ID to verify your age?" Mm-hmm. Even if, and as in my case,
never really look at it.
Yeah, it's no mystery how that I'm not under 18. But that's what the bill proposed, and it passed through the House Judiciary Committee unanimously, 13-0 vote.
Okay.
I can tell you that doesn't happen often in the House Judiciary Committee. Then it passed the House of Representatives by a vote of 62-6, bipartisan support.
Mm-hmm.
Gets over to the Senate. The Senate Judiciary Committee kills the bill in a narrow 4-3 vote. Then there's an effort to bring the bill out. It's a procedural motion called a smokeout, where if 1/3 of senators are willing to stand on the Senate floor and call for a bill to be discharged from committee, then it basically forces the hand of the committee that they have to deliver the bill to the full Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And we succeeded in that because we were pretty outraged by what happened in the Senate Judiciary Committee. So we succeeded in bringing it before the full Senate, but then when it got to the Senate floor, the Senate passed what is basically a gutting amendment, where they deleted the entire content of the bill and replaced it with a single sentence that said, "The legislature shall appoint a committee to study this issue during the interim." And so the House wouldn't accept that change. It went to a conference committee. The conference committee couldn't come up with an agreement, and so basically the clock ran out at the end of session, and the bill failed.
Wow.
So this bill will come back in 2025.
Good.
I think that we're going to see a different outcome next time. But it's really unfortunate. This was a good bill. As I said, 9 other states have passed similar laws. There wasn't anything particularly daring or radical about this. And yet there were all these, you know, frankly, red herring arguments raised that, oh, it's unconstitutional, or, oh, you know, it's going to be impossible to implement, and all of these things. And so, but hopefully we'll see that bill come back.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of shenanigans going on over there about that. So I guess I'm not surprised entirely. So, Michael, thank you so much for coming in and updating us on what happened at the legislative session. What is the website for the Catholic Conference?
Yes, thanks for asking.
Yeah.
So it's sdcatholicconference.org. Pretty long domain name, but at least it's easy to remember. Just SD is in South Dakota, catholicconference.org.
Yes, and you can always go there to find out what are the bills that the church is opposing or supporting and why. There's a wealth of information there as far as the political realm goes. So it's super helpful.
Awesome.
So, thanks again for coming in. It was really good to see you in person.
Thanks for having me. It's great. Thanks, Renee.
You bet. If you want to find out about taking your name off of that petition, again, that is takeoffmyname.com. And you can get that taken care of. Do it as soon as possible so that you don't forget and you have plenty of time to get it done. That's it for us today. Hope you'll join us again next week for more Catholic Insights.